Special session, Committee on Budget Reconciliation. I will open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 4050. Is there anyone in the audience that so wishes to testify? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing, open the work session on House Bill 4050. Richard?
The dash one amendments to House Bill 4050 replace the bill. The other day we were reviewing another bill which had provisions in it to extend the sunset for the 911 Telecommunications Act. Those provisions have been taken out of that bill and are written into this bill. So essentially it does the same thing as it would have in the other bill. And basically it's a fairly simple change. It simply extends the sunset from 2003 to 2007, so that the 75-cent per line charge for telecommunications, 911 emergency access, would continue through 2007, through December 31st, 2007.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for staff? Everyone understand the amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Move the dash one amendments to House Bill 4050.
Representative Shetterly has moved the dash one amendments to House Bill 4050. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Shetterly.
Move House Bill 4050 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Shetterly has moved House Bill 4050 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll close the work session on House Bill 4050. Order the work session on House
Carrier
4051 to be opened.
Not me.
Anyone volunteer to carry this? Betsy Johnson, I appreciate your enthusiastic response to that heartfelt question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be delighted.
And Vince. I don't know the formal technicality of assigning carriers and them not being on the floor, but in a special session where y'all get pretty stretched. So if you are not available, I would be happy to carry it.
Mr. Chair, you shouldn't so incentivize me.
And if I am not available, Representative Morgan will be available. We're in a work session on House Bill 4051 relating to taxation.
Richard? We heard this bill yesterday. Basically what it does is impose a 75-cent increase in the cigarette tax for distributions that begin on or after January 1 of 2003. Now, I say that date, 2003, because the language in the bill says the first day of the calendar quarter beginning after the effective date of this act. Okay, the assumption is it's going to be referred. The bill provides for a referral to a special election in September, which I presume would be September 17th. So the bill would become effective October 17th, and the first day of the following calendar quarter is January 1. Okay, so that's the permanent increase. It's not permanent. Well, in the bill, it's permanent increase in the cigarette tax. Section 4 then provides for a retroactive portion of the bill, which extends that cigarette tax increase, the same 75-cent increase, back to July 1 of this year, 2002. Liability for that tax will accrue with the wholesalers as they purchase stamps. The Department of Revenue has the information it needs to track those purchases and determine which stamp purchases are subject to the additional tax. The distributors would report on January 20th the amount of their taxable distributions, the amount of revenue that they owe to the department, and make payment to the department at that time. Now, in Section 5 of the bill, we provide for the bill provides for an increase in the compensation afforded to wholesalers for affixing the tax stamps to the cigarettes. The wholesalers actually have to open up each carton of cigarettes and affix the stamps to it and reseal the cartons. Currently, that's on a sliding scale, which varies from... I don't see it. It varies up to 0.4 of 1 cent per pack, and this for the first 26,000 cases, it's somewhat lower. Number slips me for the moment. I don't see it here, but it's like 2-point-something cents per pack. What this does is make it 0.4 cents per pack for all stamp purchases. Additionally, in Section 6, you have a one-time transfer. I didn't mention, and I should have, I'm sorry, the additional revenue generated by this 75-cent tax is dedicated to a new fund called the Oregon Health Plan Fund. The bill creates that fund. The money goes in there, and the use of those funds is dedicated to the health plan. This provides for a one-time transfer of $3 million from that fund, the health plan fund, to the tobacco use reduction account. And that transfer would occur in this biennium. The last section of the bill then provides for submitting this to the voters for approval at a special election in September. Now, you have three sets of amendments to the bill. I guess before I go through those, I did enclose a sheet here of information which was just handed out with the bills and the amendments. And what I've done there is try to answer some of the questions that were raised yesterday by the committee. It seems to me on the left-hand side there you have three options, that you do have, in fact, three options of when to implement the cigarette tax increase. The one is July 1, essentially, is the first that you could feasibly implement the retroactive provisions. Without retroactive provisions, if it went to a September election referral to the people, it could be implemented on November 1, and at that time you would impose a floor tax as well on the inventory of stamps for wholesalers and on the inventories for dealers of cigarettes actually on the shelves at that time. So you can see the drop there in terms of the money that's available for this biennium, the 2001-2003, from 109 down to 84.6. You get a substantial drop in the amount of money that is raised by the tax, but the floor tax compensates that to a certain extent because it'll raise $17.6 million. The last option then would just be a referral to the general election, in which case the tax would first be able to take effect on January 1. On the right-hand side of the page there, I've tried to address some of the questions that were raised. And the first section there deals with holding local governments harmless. You're talking about raising $129 million in new revenue that would flow into the health plan account under this bill. And the loss to cities and counties is $1.73 million. So essentially a dedication of 1% of the new money to cities and counties would hold them harmless. And if you look down at the next biennium, it increases, but it's in that range of 1.34 to 1.38.
And that's 4.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
4.03.
Mr.
Chair. Representative Butler.
Just one question. When you say, Dick, when you say city and county loss, does that include the senior transportation?
It does.
Okay, thank you.
Please proceed, sir.
The next option that you asked me to look at was a question of not of imposing something in excess of a 75-cent increase. With the additional rate going essentially to, again, hold harmless local governments. And if you wanted to do that on a per-pack basis, you'd need about 1.3 to 1.4 cents per pack. So instead of a 75-cent increase, it would be at 76.3, 76.4. For feasibility, I guess, of doing it, you might want to just round that up to 76.5, but whatever, it's in that range. The next question said, why don't you just run all of the money through the current distribution formula? And that's what the next section does. First of all, I show what those distribution shares are, with 37.9% going to the general fund, 46.6% to the health plan, and so on. And note at the bottom there that there is a 10-cent tax which is dedicated to the health plan. So I have not changed the distribution of that. It would all go into the health plan. And what you get then as far as the impacts, the $109 million would be divided up so that the 41.5 would go into the general fund, 51 into the health plan, 5.6 to the tobacco use reduction account, and 11.3 would be divided equally between senior and disabled transit cities and counties. Representative Butler raised some questions also about the impact of this rate change on the distribution of cigarettes. So the next to the last section here has to do, the first adjustment has to do with the fact that consumers face a higher price, and so they tend to buy less. It also tries to account for, and very weakly does so, the truckloads of cigarettes that might come into the state from some low-tax state or from some foreign country and avoid taxation altogether. And that would cause about an 11 or 10.5% reduction in consumption. The other thing that comes out of my model is a border populations adjustment, which depends on the relative tax rates in California, Washington, and Idaho. And this increase would cause about a 4.25% reduction in taxable distributions in Oregon as a result of this tax increase. So the overall quantity adjustment is just a little less than 15%.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Federer.
So, Dick, that quantity adjustment is built into your revenue forecast then? It's already built in?
To their revenue impact
statement. The revenue impact, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
The last thing there is a what the model produces as the impact of increasing the compensation to distributors for fixing the tax stamps, and that's about a 0.13 1/100 of 1% reduction in revenues. It doesn't affect distribution. The state just gets less revenue.
Okay. Gina.
I also attached a preliminary revenue impact statement, and the reason it's preliminary is I was guessing at what these amendments were because I hadn't seen them at the time, but I think it's all right. I think it's consistent. Well, it's not quite consistent because I expected a sunset of 2007. The bill's drafted with a sunset of 2008, so I'll have to amend that impact statement. Of the amendments, 4051-1, you saw the other day, what this does is make it clear that Senate Bill 9, which you passed in the 2001 session and provided for some funds, contingently at least, for some funds to flow into the senior prescription drug assistance programs, that those provisions do not apply to this increase, but only apply to the temporary 10-cent tax and to the portion of the permanent 58-cent tax that accrue to the health plan. The dash two amendments simply delete the provisions of the bill which refer to the 911 telecommunications act and the extension of the sunset. And the dash three amendments extend the sunset on this 75-cent increase, or put a sunset on this 75-cent increase of January 1, 2008.
Okay.
Thank you. Any questions of staff?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
I did have, and I hit Dick late on with this question, and that is the concern that I have that was expressed briefly yesterday relative to the non-participating manufacturers versus the master settlement agreement manufacturers, and the concern that I have over the continued downward pressure of consumption in Oregon of the MSA tobacco cigarettes versus the NPMs, who are already, I understand, considerably less in price. And the concern that I have there is that does continue to push more tobacco sales to those non-participating manufacturers, tends to also then reduce the amounts that we will receive in future years under the master settlement agreement. And I do have a concern of any kind of continued allowance or disparity between the two types of tobacco, cigarettes, being sold in the state of Oregon, and recognize that potentially one may have a greater health hazard than the other, because those companies aren't trying to manufacture to maintain a strong brand name appeal or long-term loyalty as much as they are just to give a nicotine or a tar kick to those folks who may use that. So I do have some continued concerns about this tremendous disparity as a result of the MSA, and if there was some way that this tax, I talked to Deborah from the Department of Revenue earlier. She's here, incidentally. But I'd like to at least have us hear testimony relative to whether or not we could compensate for that in the tax computation itself.
I think we can have a public hearing on that. I am very empathetic to what you're saying. I think that's an excellent point you're raising. But if we could, I think it'd be better to put that off for another day. But, Tom, I agree with you. And as we go along here at supersonic speed over the next couple of days, I think your issue is getting light.
Well, and Mr. Chair, I'd just say this, too, that because of the delay, the potential delay in collecting $1 in this type of a tax, I do have a concern that this would be a way to ameliorate the loss as a result of that delay by going ahead and making more uniform the full cost of cigarettes throughout the state, no matter whether those folks are contributing to the Master Settlement Agreement for Oregon health issues, or those people who choose not to and basically sell more tobacco and get away mostly scot-free.
Now, I am not insensitive to the revenue issue and equity issue.
Thank you.
And take me at my word, we're going to talk about this more and at a later date. Dick, for Representative Johnson's benefit, while she was out of the room, we discussed some of the impacts on cities and counties, and we made some provision. Probably not, quite frankly, enough to accommodate all that you may have anticipated.
Mr. Chair, respectfully, after listening to the testimony yesterday, I had gone with a colleague to Legislative Council and talked about getting an amendment drafted to deal with holding the cities and counties harmless. I apologize for having missed the discussion while I was out of the room. Unfortunately, the amendment at this point is still in draft and not available for distribution.
And what did we do for cities and counties specifically, Dick? We gave them 1 year
in the bill?
In the bill.
There is no provision specifically relating to cities and counties. As a result of the price increase, we expect quantity distributed, taxable distributions to decline. Cities, counties, and senior and disabled transit each get 2 cents per package.
Right.
So as the quantity declines, they're going to get less revenue. The bill does nothing to hold them harmless.
I thought I heard you say we held them harmless for 1 year, but perhaps I'm mistaken.
I think that you more than hold. If you look at the numbers here, as far as TURA is concerned, the tobacco use reduction account, the $3 million transfer wipes out any loss that they may have received as a result of this. So
that's what I heard.
The tobacco use reduction account is compensated. It gets some benefits, more than compensated for that decline in quantity.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, along that same line, I think there had been some confusion yesterday as to whether the $3 million was a one-time allocation or a continuing.
One time, as I understand it. And that is correct. That's what I heard. One time.
Respectfully, again, in anticipation of this discussion, I asked to have amendments drafted that would make it a continuing appropriation and on a biennium basis, and I have those prepared.
Well, we won't consider those now, but I say that in the interest of special session time, but there is, you're going to get a shot on the Senate side, so I assume this will make it across the House floor to the Senate, so I'm not trying to box you out. Any questions for Mr. Yates?
No.
Any discussion?
Well, I would say I was taken by the local government testimony on this yesterday, and I guess I would just say with Representative Johnson, both as to the tobacco use reduction and also the local governments, that may be something very well worth following over to the other side, understanding the time constraints with which we're working here and the fact that the numbers will be changing as we progress to the next couple of days. There may be a way to accommodate that, so I'd encourage you to follow those amendments through.
And I would also point out that if, as we anticipate, we can get any of the provisions done in the PERS mortality rates, from which the counties and cities will benefit even more greatly than the state in terms of the total package and the equity, I think cities and counties would be well accounted for in the overall package we get out. But that's not to dissuade you from following over the Senate side. Representative Hansen.
Well, very similar vein. I guess that part of the question is sort of the timing in terms of what we're hoping to accomplish in this work session, how this is all getting tracked through the special session. I'm very supportive of local government's case that they made before us yesterday. As we look at some of the proposed cut packages, some of those have impacts to local government, and it seems to me this is one of the ways we have to balance that out. Certainly the mortality issue with the PERS rate is another way, but hopefully by the end of the special session we can do as much as possible and use every avenue to try and hold local government as harmless, because they're facing the same types of budget pressures that we're under. If this is approached at the Senate side, that's a good way to deal with it. But one of the things, though, is this whole total, by dealing with it here or dealing with it in the tobacco tax increase, I think that can make some later discussions that we'll be having on specific cuts in the cut package maybe a little more palatable. And in terms of local government spending money on mental health, it almost is like giving a direct grant, because that mental health cuts across so many different needs of local government that this is money that will be incredibly well spent and can have impacts on corrections and impacts on the Oregon health plan if we can better manage case manage and take care of the citizens with mental health issues. But I guess on all this, as well as the issue of retroactivity, I guess I'm kind of wondering what the overall game plan is in terms of moving this and how you're envisioning it'll go forward.
We will, I would assume, and hopefully move this from this committee to the House floor, vote on this, and send it to the Senate side.
With any amendments in terms of the retroactivity or any amendments?
These
at all?
Three amendments that we're considering today. And then with regard to your cut package and some of the issues, Gary, I understand. Hopefully sometime this afternoon, we were going to do it at 4 o'clock, but I guess we have a caucus at 4.
Mm-hmm.
So we will make time. Representative Morgan and I, Representative Schrader, and another member of your caucus will sit down and go in detail through that cut package and start kind of knead and knit a lot of this stuff together. But I think for right now, I mean, we've got to get this process going. I know we lose 4 members come Monday, and I think it'd behoove us all if we had this all wrapped up by Sunday.
We're getting free trips to a couple more of them.
You know, I appreciate the strategy. I'm just offended that I'm not one that hasn't been asked yet. Anyway, can we move? Is it possible to move these amendments in mass? I don't know.
If not, Representative Shetterly.
Well, we just took time, more time thinking about that than I wanted to move them one at a time. Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 4051.
Representative Shetterly has moved the dash one amendments to House Bill 4051. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Chair, I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 4051.
Representative Shetterly has moved the dash two amendments to House Bill 4051. Any discussion? Any objections? Thank you, committee. So ordered. Representative Shetterly has moved the dash three amendments
to House Bill 4051.
Any discussion? Any objection? Thank you again, committee. House Bill 4051 is amended by the dash 1, 2, and 3 amendments. So ordered.
Move House Bill 4051 as amended to the floor of the due pass.
Representative Shetterly has moved House Bill 4051 as amended by the dash 1, 2, and 3 amendments to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Representative Butler.
A couple of items of discussion. I know that you're moving fast and desire to get these issues out before the House members. I do have a rather serious concern about the items that we've already discussed about, as well as concerns that the funds that are used for, we are limiting the amount of funds that will be used for the cessation or prevention programs. And I feel very strongly that we need to continue to encourage the reduction of use of these kinds of substances, and the funds should be available for not just the tobacco prevention and cessation, but also other funds should, and perhaps Representative Johnson could, in her amendment, could consider that at some point. Those issues that are related to other public and mental health services in the state, that these funds could be used for those activities eventually after the public health plans or the Oregon Health Plan Fund or Health Care Fund would be adjusted, and for other, the cessation portion for other A&D prevention issues could be eventually included. But the concern I've got is that this is a $3 million issue that addresses tobacco use prevention. There are other substance abuses in the state that these kinds of programs could also accommodate as well. So,
And do. They use some of the dollars across addictions. The Representative Butler, I appreciate your comments. And I also appreciate Representative Johnson's interest in this from the city and the county standpoint. I think we all do. I guess the one point I would make at this juncture is of all the advocates for the increased tax, the first argument, the biggest argument they've ever made to me, the one I ascribe to the most, particularly as it relates to youth, and I think that's something we're all concerned about, is price is the major determinant. And with this action here today, we do address some of the concerns, although not fully, that you have brought up. So I sincerely appreciate your comments. Any further discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 4051 as amended to the floor of the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation? Any objection? Let the record show one. Representative Butler. Representative Morgan. Seeing no other objections, House Bill 4051 as amended is moved to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. Okay. Where are we? We don't have the 59 amendments. I will volunteer to carry. I think we're done.
Oh, you have 59, didn't we?
Yeah, but I see all the blanks and I don't see any.
Yeah, I don't. It's not my bill. I don't know. Here's.
Yeah, but we can move 37 into the blank. Oh, we don't have to do that. Because we're trying to get the
Let's just recess.
They've got to go to conference.
Recess?
Yeah.
Can we get amendment to 59?
What's that going to be?
What?
We will recess, tell call of the chair until we get amendments to House Bill 5090. Say that particularly in deference to our Democratic colleagues that have been gracious enough to wait for...
I was trying to get some sense of call of the chair. 15 minutes?
We'll come knock on your... I don't know. I mean, they're as active as we are. So we will recess till call of the chair to do amendments into House Bill 5090.